Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, it's not about right or left. It's about right, and it's about wrong, about our hope not being in Jesus Christ. Or not being in man, but being in Jesus Christ. And our hope not just solely being in prayer, but moving to action and Holy Spirit, being a part of every single thing that we're doing, not being afraid of that. Luke 10:19, God intentionally, Jesus Christ intentionally, and right before, the verse before that in Luke 10:18, Jesus Christ specifically says he saw Satan fall from heaven, and then he says he gives us authority to tread upon the serpent, lies and deceit, tread upon the scorpion, wicked men, scourges, threats, and over all the power, not some, not only on Sundays, not some partially on a Wednesday night worship service, but over all the power of the evil one. But do we really believe that? He wasn't just saying that for a couple of folks back then. He was saying that for all time. Do we really believe that? And if you think about it, our hope isn't just in Jesus Christ. But if we're heirs of the promise, then it is a realized hope. A victorious hope. Something that we're walking out right now. And so when he says in Luke 17:20-21, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is inside you, or in some translations, in your midst. Because if that's true, the kingdom of God is inside of us. If the temple of the Holy Spirit is the body of the believer, if that's real and the power of Holy Spirit is in us and he's given us authority over all these things, then he wants to change the world through each and every one of us. He wants to. That's his will. If we get ourselves out of the way. Think about that for a second. If we get ourselves out of the way. America today, there are a lot of people that are trying to tear this country apart. For those of us that took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, nothing has changed. We're upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States of America. That's our job. It's our oath. Something that's a duty. But there are a lot of people out there who don't believe that, who believe the Constitution is a patriarchal document written by slave owners. They have no idea about history. And I was teaching in Wisconsin last week on America's founding history. Folks from all over the country were there at this conference, and it was incredible that even folks who have written books that I look up to, they're very, very bright individuals, didn't know some of this history of America. And this ties into where Christ gave us authority over all the power of the evil one. If the body of the believer truly is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that was the inherent flaw in the idea of slavery. Because the only slaves were supposed to be slaves to Christ. All of us supposed to be slaves to Christ. It wasn't supposed to be slaves to other men. And so a lot of people, they glom onto these social justice warrior revisions of history, not knowing what the founding fathers actually contemplated back then during this time, what they understood at this time in history, that they actually had discussions about the fact, how is it reconcilable that the temple of the Holy Spirit can be the slave to another man? That doesn't even make sense. And if you get this, then what I'm about to tell you, which you probably did not learn in school, even going back into the 60s, probably didn't learn in school, but is extremely important to the discussion that was happening at the time in America, and also what we should be doing today, that there is a segment of this country that is looking to enslave other Americans again under socialism. Because socialism, communism, is slavery. It is just an artfully done form of slavery. And this is why, because private property rights isn't just about property. In fact, one of the founding fathers said very specifically that it can be said that we have a property in our rights. A property in our rights, a right to life, a right to liberty, a right to the pursuit of happiness, a right to property. That we have a property in our rights. And so socialism takes away true ownership of private property, but also, look at Venezuela, look at the former Soviet Union, look at the National Socialism in Germany in the 1930s, look at the socialism that started in Italy and then was called fascism. And yes, that's true. You can go back and look at it. Benito Mussolini was an editor of a socialist newspaper called Avanti! Exclamation mark, which means forward. Interesting that Barack Obama used that as campaign slogan, just a side note. And then he figured out that there was a better economic system for Italy that would work for the entrenched businesses and interests in Italy. But Hitler and Mussolini actually knew each other. They rode side by side in a car. There's a very famous picture of it. And Hitler took what Mussolini had done as a tweak of socialism and then added to it for the National Socialism in Germany. But in both cases, and in the case of the former Soviet Union, and in the case of Venezuela, and in the case of communist China, and in the case of communist Cambodia, and in the case of communism and socialism, wherever it has gone, there is always a taking away of certain rights. And I want to read a few of these things going back to, this is very critical, 1695, the Irish Penal Laws. Okay, 1695, the Irish Penal Laws specifically said that the Irish could not own a weapon. The Irish could not own a horse over 5 pounds in value, not weight. The Irish could not speak their own language. Political correctness, anybody? Okay. That's actually where the plantation system was started, and in the north of Ireland, and also the reservation system, which was later brought to the United States, very unfortunately. Now, when this happened back at the founding of the country, slaves couldn't own weapons. In fact, if you go back to the history of the National Rifle Association, one of its chief objectives was to arm and prevent from ever happening again slavery after the Civil War, was to arm freed slaves. You can actually go read about that. But the founding fathers understood that once you take away one of these things, you're actually taking away a property right, or a property in someone's rights, you're lessening them as a human being. And then where does it stop? Who decides? Okay, so Thomas Jefferson, in the original Declaration of Independence, as it was reported to the Continental Congress, okay, this is the draft reported to the Continental Congress, not the one that was eventually approved, but the one that was reported from the committee to the Continental Congress. Here is what it said. And this was one of the reasons for the Revolutionary War that Thomas Jefferson stated, and the committee stated when they forwarded it to the full Continental Congress. About the King of England, Thomas Jefferson wrote this: "He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither or their transportation here. Determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold, he has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or to restrain this execrable commerce." So there were legislative attempts happening at the founding period to put a stop to slavery. And that is why the founding fathers wrote into Article 1, Section 9, and Article 5 of the United States Constitution the following. Most people don't even know this exists. "The migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1808, provided that no amendment," and then this is in the fifth article talking about how the Constitution could not be amended to do that either. So it was written into the Constitution by the Founding Fathers that the importation of slaves could not be prohibited before 1808. And the reason they did that was a compromise. Not justifying the compromise, but they wrote it in that it could not be banned prior to 1808. So what happened on January 1st, again, extremely critical, January 1st, 1808, the following act prohibiting the importation of slaves, which was actually voted on March 2nd, 1807, but went into effect January 1st, 1808, this is what it said. "It shall not be lawful to import or bring into the United States or the territories thereof any foreign kingdom, place, or country slaves or people for slavery." Amazing. The founding fathers understood this, because they understood the temple of the Holy Spirit was the body of the believer. They knew they had to stop the practice, and they banned the importation of slaves in 1808. Most people don't even know that history exists in America. And the left and Antifa and the rest of these guys who want to destroy this country tried to say, oh, these are slave owners that you shouldn't listen to. They understood the problem at the time. They understood the problem at the time. And unfortunately, it eventually took a war to stop it. And that now should be impetus for us to live out our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church as slaves only to Jesus Christ. All right. Your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Venezuela. I got this in from Alerts USA. And I confirmed this with a friend who has family in Venezuela, that 22 of 23 states in Venezuela are without electrical power. More than 90% of the country's telecommunications infrastructure is also offline right now. Please pray for those folks down there. But again, this is the end result of socialism. An oil-rich nation that should never have had this happen, but socialist policies, because they deny human nature, they try to subjugate human beings, and it's another form of slavery, socialism is. This is what happens. And not only are people without power and telecommunication services, but there's killing, there's people being forced into prostitution, cannibalism in one of the prisons was reported. The end result of socialism. And it's not just because they did their socialism wrong, okay? This is happening. This is happening in every country where they try this stuff. All right, also on the international front, Israel, the whole area is really tense right now. Iranian guards say they seized a second British oil tanker, so two were seized. There was a drone attack on an Iraqi militia that occurred that is pro-Iran. And this actually happened in Iraq. It's look at the tensions there are growing pretty astronomically. So I just pray for peace in Jerusalem. All right. In England, Boris Johnson beat Jeremy Hunt for British Prime Minister. And apparently, as a result of their tankers being seized, the British are doing nothing right now, which is not, which is very interesting and not sitting well, apparently, with a lot of folks. All right. Also on the national front, a lot of different stuff. First, this Christian persecution continues. This coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Many expressions of Christian belief are being censored by YouTube, which is owned by Google. We kind of knew that. But on Tuesday, even the word Christian ran afoul of the social media giant. And Chad Robichaud reported an ad for his ministry to veterans was rejected. I hope I pronounced his last name right. Was rejected for including the word Christian. Wow. And it say quite literally says, unacceptable content is keyword, quote, Christian, end quote. So Christian, the word Christian now is a source of persecution. So the spirit that wars against Christ, the spirit that tries to war against Jesus Christ is the Antichrist spirit. And there it is in black and white. All right. Also on the national front, the cake shop owner that has been to court and beat the state twice on religious freedom, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, has been hit with a lawsuit again. Because he refused to bake a cake celebrating transgenderism. Anyway, this is going to keep going. I mean, this is what socialists do. They have to quash other people's beliefs because, again, it is a form of slavery. It's just an artful form of it. When you take somebody else's rights, you try to determine for them what is best for them. Is that not the very definition? All right. Also on the national front, the BLM has opened, so Bureau of Land Management has opened 1.3 million acres. And also on top of that, I'm hearing that there is going to be land transfers, possibly to the states, in accordance with most compacts, especially in the western United States, that the states came into the union with and still have not been fulfilled. But right now, up in Alaska, 1.3 million acres overseen by the Bureau of Land Management, eligible for conveyance to the state and other uses, is being freed up. So the BLM taking a step in the right direction. Also on the national front, this kind of weird, you know, there was this eco-friendly straw move, you know, away from plastic straws. And apparently somebody was using a metal straw, fell down, and it pierced this woman's eye and killed her. Now, obviously, that's a one-off. It's not going to happen very often. But the fact of the matter is, would that have happened if it had been a plastic straw? And it's an interesting question. Also on the national front, the Supreme Court looks like, in a case called Kaiser v. Wilkie, that it is changing its stance on deference to agency decisions. So this is a big deal in administrative law. A lot of people don't understand how this happens in administrative law, but people will be slapped with a fine. Then they go before an administrative law judge who is paid by the agency, and the same agency that they're appealing or they are challenging. And so The Supreme Court had ruled previously that their agency's decisions in these matters should be given deference if they're appealed to a higher level. And in this case, they're saying no, but they're limiting the deference in that the agency cannot just simply reinterpret rules, that the regulation truly needs to be ambiguous. And they just don't have the right to reinterpret things willy-nilly, that it truly has to be ambiguous before they can be given deference in how they reinterpreted it. And that's a significant limiting factor. In Washington State, if this occurred, the Department of Early Learning actually would be in some significant trouble because of the reinterpretations where there clearly was no ambiguity in the law. All right, also on the national front, the Southern Poverty Law Center has... Okay, now this is... The Southern Poverty Law Center has been linked to Antifa, okay? Now, this is the same Southern Poverty Law Center that back in 2015... said that Ben Carson was on their hate watch list. Okay. Same folks. Okay. This is the same Antifa who had a person write an actual manifesto. I'm not going to even say his name because I don't want to give him his name any press. But this guy firebombed an ICE facility in Washington State. He left an actual manifesto, not a made-up one like the media tried to take a Bible study out of context and make it into a manifesto, but an actual manifesto where this guy says that he is Antifa and that Antifa needs to arm for war, okay? It's the same Antifa. Same Antifa that is associated with people that have made death threats, that have made just straight threats to all kinds of different folks, yours truly included, are setting up chapters like the Socialist Rifle Association, the John Brown Gun Club. And oh, by the way, this guy that firebombed the ICE facility was killed, by the way, doing it, was wearing a John Brown Gun Club hat. Now, I mentioned this, and there's actually a picture of him wearing it and also apparently associating with members of the organization. So very interesting that that's not making the media, but Facebook instead slaps the John Birch Society with a hate speech violation over an immigration post. Facebook removed the post from public visibility on the grounds that it goes against community standards of speech. What was it? Just laying out what the case is that we need to secure our borders. So you can take a look at that hate speech against the John Birch Society and the New American Magazine. Unbelievable. All right, also on the regional front, there are a lot of folks asking about what's happening with Liberty State. It is moving forward. There has been a lot of following with Liberty State. And so... it is gaining momentum right now. People are trying to get some sort of a resolution passed by county commissioners or get it on the ballot as an advisory vote. So you're going to see a lot more push on that. But Liberty State really gaining steam, especially since I think there are going to be 12 tax advisory votes on this next election ballot in November. 12, because... the Democrats just ran roughshod, taxing everything. People are sick and tired of it, as they rightfully should be. And also they're sick and tired of the fact that media doesn't ever denounce, at least any significant mainstream media, denounce Antifa. All right, on the local front, August 17th, mark this on your calendars, August 17th, 10 in the morning to 6 at night, it's going to include a barbecue, apparently, up in Marble, Washington, just south of Northport. It's going to be a Land of the Free conference. Tom DeWeese is going to be there. Dan Happel is going to be there. Reverend Matthew Cummings is going to be there telling his story about how the communists tried to recruit him. What a great story, too. Just a fantastic human being. If you don't know Reverend Matthew Cummings, you can look him up online. But August 17th, Marble, Washington, Land of the Free conference, 10 to 6 p.m. And you can find that, I think, as well on Facebook. I think we posted it up there. All right, on the local front, it's primary election time. Here is my brief list of recommendations, and I have this on my website. If you go to mattvoce.com, click on solutions, scroll down to Matt's take on elections. It's all there. Spokane City Mayor Jonathan Bingle. Spokane City Council President Mike Fagan. Spokane City Council District 1, Tim Benn. Spokane City Council District 2, Tony Keepy. Spokane City Council District 3, Jeff Martin. And then, moving into the city of Spokane Valley, and this is critical, okay, because you have some folks with direct ties to socialist organizations, Marxist organizations, that are on the ballot in Spokane Valley, and they have targeted Spokane Valley to try and take it over. And their voting records are clearly socialist. The one particular candidate who's actually a sitting council member is – the voting record is clearly socialist. It is very clearly trying to shift Spokane Valley toward downtown Spokane. Well, downtown Spokane is trying to shift towards Seattle, and Seattle is dying, so we don't want to go in that direction. All right. City of Spokane Valley, here are my recommendations. Position 2, Michelle Rasmussen. Now, I do want to give a nod to Rocky Sampson because he's done a masterful job in the debates. But Michelle Rasmussen is my recommendation for that race, position 2. Spokane Valley, position 3, Arnie Woodard. City of Spokane Valley, position 6, Bo Tucker. Bo Tucker and Arnie Woodard are two really good champions of small business and freedom and very upstanding leaders here in the community. You can also go to We Believe We Vote for More as well. All right. I want to take a moment and just thank everybody out there for praying for me and Victoria, these Antifa death threats and all the stuff that's been going on. Just really thank you for being there for us and praying for us and encouraging us as well. And just wanted to take that moment and just really appreciate all the folks all over the state, actually all over the country, that have been sending us stuff. It's quite overwhelming, and we're just honored. And we just love all you guys. We just love all of you. You're awesome. Thank you for that. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. Also, remember, this is a listener-supported show, and you can go to VoteShay.com, keep us on the air. And remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. And before I introduce our guest, I just want to say that I had somebody pull me aside in Wisconsin. They're from Washington State, actually, and just thank me. And I really said, well, you know, we all do our part where the Lord has put us. We all do our part where God has put us. And we just need to accept that and keep moving. And we can't do it alone. We have to do it together. And I'm just honored that all of you out there in Patriot Radio land are there standing up with me. All right, our guest today is Michael Cutler. He's a retired senior special agent of the former Immigration and Naturalization Service, whose career spans some 30 years. He's written all kinds of different things online about immigration. He's also the blog talk radio show host of the Michael Cutler Hour. Michael Cutler, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio again. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry about the death threats. We're living in such a perilous era. You know, I'm registered as a Democrat. I can't tell you the last time I voted for a Democrat because they're no longer Democrats. I'm a labor guy. My dad was a construction worker, a tradesman, my biggest hero, he and my mom. But you know, we've gotten to the point in America where we are so polarized, it's virtually impossible to have an honest debate. And I always used to think of universities as the bastion for debate, questioning everything, critical thinking. It's gone. And it really parallels in so many ways, and this is what concerns me, what happened in the run-up to the Holocaust. I'm Jewish. My family was decimated during the Second World War because of our religion in Europe. And we've really got to push back. This is a game of intimidation, and it's really very worrisome.
It is very worrisome, and my ancestors that came from Ireland, you know, suffered under the Irish Penal Laws of 1695, and it seems like in every era that this kind of crops up and rears its ugly head, it's always about trying to lessen other human beings for some justified reason. Doesn't necessarily matter even what that reason is. They just always try to justify it with something that sounds reasonable and make people lesser human beings and really demonize other human beings. And that's, that's where it ends bad.
Tactics. Yeah, but there's two tactics. Number one, it's about control, but it's also about not only divide and conquer, but using someone else as the scapegoat. During the Holocaust, it was the Jews and other minorities. Today, it's law enforcement. It's also this nonsense about white privilege. You know, there are people in every ethnic group, every race, who are privileged and who aren't privileged. When you relate it to a specific race, you are guilty of racism. Just like when I hear the nonsense about the Latino voter, as though if you're an American but you're of Latino ethnicity, somehow you are defined by your race. That's racism. It's bigotry. It's stupid. And we need to reject it. And we need to reject the Orwellian use of language. And I'm glad you mentioned my writing. I do a lot of writing for two places right now. Front Page Magazine, sponsored by the David Horowitz Freedom Center. They need your support, and I'd love for you to go read my articles at frontpagemag.com. I've also been working with Dennis Michael Lynch, dmlnews.com. But I wrote an article about a week ago, and I entitled it Fake News Begins with Fake Language. Think about that. Mm-hmm. When we start being told what words we can and cannot use, and when some arbiter who's on the other side tells us what constitutes hate speech, that's like being in a boxing match and the referee is employed by your opponent. Think about that.
So very true.
We're told the term alien is hate speech. In reality, the term alien is a legal term, and in the immigration laws, it's defined simply as any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. I defy anybody to tell me where the hatred is, where the bigotry is in that definition. Any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. It's like saying, you're my friend, but you're not a member of my family, so you are not a relative. That's what we're saying. It's not an insult. It's a statement of law. And the term alien or comparable terms in other language are recognized under international law. You're either a citizen of a country or you're not. And if you're present in a country in which you are not a citizen, you are an alien. You're not an asylum applicant. You're not a migrant. You're an alien. And this misuse of language declaring anybody in the country to be an immigrant was started by Jimmy Carter. It was designed to obfuscate the truth, to confound any honest debate or conversation. So now we've gotten to the point where if you even suggest that people who are not citizens ought to be denied entry into the United States if they are criminals, have dangerous communicable diseases, are terrorists, human rights violators, fugitives from justice, or would take jobs that they're not entitled to take, thereby displacing Americans, suddenly you're branded anti-immigrant instead of pro-enforcement. And the people that want immigration anarchy are glowingly referred to in the mainstream media as being pro-immigrant. What they are is pro-anarchist. And if you look at the, I don't know if you saw the video or your audience did, but it was sickening, of members of the New York City Police Department who were doused with water at two separate locations when they were going about their daily duties as police officers. I had the privilege of working very closely with the NYPD for virtually my entire career. To see any law enforcement officers disrespected and attacked in that fashion is sickening and worrisome. We are creating no-go zones here in New York City, essentially. And the idiot mayor that we have, who's created a sanctuary in the city that was attacked the most grievously on 9/11, and the idiot governor of New York, Cuomo, who calls immigration agents thugs, are creating an anti-law enforcement environment, going back to this notion of branding people to somehow diminish who they are as human beings and by profession in this particular case. So they're taking us down this very slippery path to anarchy.
Well, they are. And I want to really key on something that you talked about. Joseph Piper wrote back in 1992 a book called Abuse of Language, Abuse of Power. Because when you misuse language, what you are doing is predicating everything you're saying on a deception. And that a deception is intended so that you can control other people because they don't have the information that you have. And I want to key on that because that's exactly what's happening today. We need to reclaim the English language and reclaim the definition of these words.
We need to be assertive. You know, we're celebrating the anniversary of going to the moon. I had the distinct privilege when I was a kid of getting letters from Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom. I met Jim Lovell, Dave Scott, Jim McDivitt. I have a photo with Gene Kranz. I had the privilege of meeting him. And most recently, when I spoke at an event in Washington, I got to meet Jack Fisher, who's the current crop of astronauts. He's being sent back to the Air Force to head up the, or be one of the key leaders of the Space Force. You know, the president has now created a sixth branch of our military. So I had the privilege of meeting Jack Fisher. My original dream was to be an aerospace engineer, and I used to have fist fights as a kid because I never cared about athletes. I didn't think Mickey Mantle was a hero because he could take a stick and hit a ball with it, okay? Yeah, my favorite oxymoron is heroic play. I'm trying to figure out how in the world you can be a hero when you're playing. But my heroes were astronauts. But when you're growing up, if you don't think sports is all there is, you can only imagine the language that was hurled at me. And I was a scrawny kid. My dad taught me. He was a construction worker. He said, you're going to go to a gym. You're going to work out. You're going to learn how to box. You're going to put on some muscle. And you're going to learn to defend yourself. Because he told me, the day you wake up that I'm not here, you better be up for the game. Tragically, he died when I was 19. He was 57 because he worked in the Navy shipyards during the Second World War. He felt this overwhelming need to contribute to our military, to contribute to the effort to protect America. It's something that I inherited from both of my parents. My mom came as a 13-year-old legally ahead of the Holocaust. Her mother, for whom I was named, died in Poland because she couldn't get out. And so we feel so strongly about America because I don't only believe that I owe America my life, but the lives of my children and my grandchildren. And what we're fighting for is the future of our grandchildren and their children to come. And we're living in a very perilous era, but I think back to when Sputnik was launched, because that's really when our push to go to the moon began, when Dwight Eisenhower, one of the great presidents of America, established teaching American kids math and science so we would be able to compete. And that's right. I was always a science guy. In the third grade, I started teaching myself astronomy. So in the fifth grade, when Sputnik was launched, they called on me to create a science corner in my classroom. I will never forget it. And for an hour on Thursdays, they would ask me to pick a topic, and I'd get in front of the room and talk about science. And that's when we decided we were going to push back. We didn't say, let's go to India or some other country and see who we can bring in to help us. Yeah, we brought in Von Braun, and I hate to say it, but he was a war criminal. He built the V-2 rockets that we used as terror weapons against the Brits, and he used slave labor from the concentration camp. So I have ambivalence about Von Braun. But essentially, Americans have taken us to the moon. Americans have taken us out of the solar system. Think of the space probes, New Horizon that flew past Pluto, the Voyager spacecraft, and those that preceded it. So this is an American achievement. And now we're being told we have to bring the world's best and brightest to America. I had this argument with Ted Cruz, and we both spoke in Washington several years ago, and he got really nasty. It almost got physical, believe it or not, because I told him this nonsense about we need to bring the best and brightest to America. I said, where I come from, and I come from Brooklyn, New York, we have a name for the world's best and brightest. We call them Americans. And boy, he didn't want to hear that. So we're getting this from both sides of the aisle. When those Democrats and Republicans debate immigration, what you're witnessing is collusion. They are foisting on us what I think of as the good cop, bad cop routine. Because both sides are all in where it comes to flooding America with cheap labor to displace Americans and drive down wages. What do you think of that estimation?
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I agree. I think that there is both sides, and I've seen it even at the state level, and people feel like they have no other choice. I don't believe that there's always, you know, this dichotomy. There's always a choice where Americans, we can think of what the choices are. But I think that this is an issue that should be uniting us, not dividing us. And I think your article on that was key. So if you can go into that.
Sure. And so I wrote an article, and this is my most recent article for Front Page Magazine. Let me just bring it up on my own screen here. Yeah, and the title was Democrats and Republicans Passed an Immigration Bill, but it went largely unreported. And the bill was crafted by Zoe Loughran. Zoe Loughran is a Democrat. She chairs the House Immigration Subcommittee. I've testified before her and many others. I've been before 17 hearings in the House and Senate as an expert witness. I doubt that anyone's going to call me again. I've infuriated everybody, which pleases me when you consider whom I've infuriated and why. The truth is always the truth. There's only one version of the truth. But Zoe Loughran came up with this bill, and you have to love the name that they came up with. It's H.R. 1044, the Fairness for High-Skilled Immigrants Act. And what about, and at the end of my article, I said, well, really, it is a Fairness for High-Skilled Americans Act. But her bill would enable hundreds of thousands of H-1B visa holders to be immediately granted lawful immigrant status so that they're here permanently. It would also eliminate per country cap, and it's believed that India would get the lion's share of the benefit. Right now, they account for 25% of the H-1B visas. They would get 90% of these visas, according to an analysis that's been done by several organizations. The bill also makes it easier for China to get visas as investors in the United States. And generally what that means is they'll be buying up real estate in places like Manhattan. This jacks up the price of housing. When you jack up the price of housing and you suppress wages of American workers, guess what you wind up with? Increased levels of homelessness. So how in the world could both parties do this? It beats me. But not only did they pass it on July the 10th, this bill, and now the Senate is going to take it up, where one website gives it a 92% chance of passing the Senate. The only hope we have is that we have to reach out to Donald Trump and make sure that he vetoes this piece of garbage. But the idea that so many people voted for it without a debate, without even a single amendment being tacked on, we're told how nobody on the Democrat side or the Republican side want to work cooperatively. So we have a vote of 365 to 65 passing the bill in the House. Think of that landslide vote. 365 to 65. Have you heard about it in the news?
No, actually, I haven't at all.
Now, isn't that remarkable? All that's being talked about is the Mexican border. Now, don't get me wrong. That border has got to be secured. But, you know, I've said this time and time again. America is not a country of four border states, but 50 border states. And it's not just about illegal aliens from Mexico. You know, as an immigration agent, I spent half my 30 years with the Drug Task Force. I've arrested terrorists in my career. I arrested an individual suspected of being a member of the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, took a firearm off of him working jointly with the FBI. I've arrested drug dealers from other countries. Japan gave me an award for working with them on one of their cases. I did a lot of work with Israel. These are not Latino countries. If you pick up the newspapers, it's about the Mexican border, it's about Mexicans, and it's about brown skin. And then if you listen to these four hooples, Alexandria the barmaid and her three playmates, I refuse to call her AOC because that puts her up there with JFK and HST, Harry Truman. So I call her Alexandria the barmaid. The nonsense that is being spewed, and the mainstream media in New York will always say, the president's war with the four minority female members of Congress continues, leading anyone who doesn't understand the issue to believe that he's fighting with them because they're female and of color. And that's not at all the case. But this is the way the mainstream media shapes the news rather than reports the news. And so then it becomes very easy to say, oh, the president is a racist. He's a misogynist. He's fighting with four women in Congress, and they are of color. Now we know what the problem is. Never mind what they've been saying. Never mind what they've been. Am I right or wrong, Matt?
Right. No. And the hypocrisy seems to know no bounds.
No, and look, Chuck Schumer, okay, the minority leader, and for those of you not familiar with politics, they call him minority leader because the Democrats, fortunately, in the Senate are in the minority. So he's the minority leader. And I know Chuck. He was my congressman before Anthony Weiner came to power. Weiner was his protege, okay, and I know both of them. And Chuck Schumer, in 2014, I believe, proposed legislation that would make trespassing a 5-year federal crime if you trespass on critical infrastructure or national landmarks. And he talked about how dangerous trespassing is. He even cited a 16-year-old boy who had climbed on the World Trade Center tower that was being built in the place where the original towers had stood. And he said, I don't care if you're an adrenaline junkie or a criminal. If you trespass, you need to go to jail for 5 years so we deter this dangerous conduct, especially in an era of terrorism. But again, Schumer and his playmates, when aliens trespass on America, they're not undocumented. It's not a real word. It's Orwellian. If you enter without inspection, you're evading the vetting process conducted at ports of entry to keep out the criminals, the spies, the terrorists, the drug dealers, the gangbangers, and people who would take Americans' jobs, you see. So those people who trespass are called immigrants, and of course they want to give them immediately a path to U.S. citizenship. If you're an American and you trespass on infrastructure, go to jail for 5 years. Do not pass go. But if you're an illegal alien trespassing on America, the very same Chuck Schumer says, well, now you've earned a path to citizenship. How hypocritical and insane is that when you put those two together?
That's exactly right. And the fact of the matter is that you see some of these folks celebrating, immigrant parents, immigrant relatives, and also in the common yep. denominator with all those folks is they came here legally. They waited in line like my wife did.
Right. And my mother did. And many other people that have been very close to me through my life have. And, you know, so many of my mother's friends, especially when I met them as a little boy, I'll never forget it, with the tattoos on their arms because they had been in concentration camps. My first wife tragically died of cancer 33 years ago at the age of 33. Her mother was in a concentration camp. And by the way, my first wife was a brilliant computer programmer, and most of her friends were brilliant programmers, MBA, computer science, Phi Beta Kappa graduates, members of the National Math Honor Society. They're losing their careers to people from other countries, not because they're not talented or dedicated or experienced, but because they can hire less qualified people from India who will work for one-third the wage. So we are intentionally destroying the American middle class, and that's really dangerous because democratic republics rely on an upwardly mobile middle class, which gives people the opportunity to have the time to be involved, in addition to hopefully hobbies and have good quality lives, to also be involved in the body politic. And so if you are running like a gerbil on a treadmill in a cage trying to just keep up, guess what you're likely to not be able to do? Become involved in politics. So you become easier to control. This is about control. These are the ultimate control freaks. And you have Google working with the Chinese government to help censor the internet and keep track of where Chinese citizens conduct their searches. Think about that. But the same Google refused to help the U.S. military, saying that somehow they had moral issues with helping the U.S. military. Now, think about the insanity to that. We don't have a problem dealing with a totalitarian communist country and helping them to rule with an iron fist over their citizens, but they have a problem helping America defend itself by working with our military. And so now you have Alexandria the barmaid saying we need a 9/11 commission so that we can find out what's going on with this immigration system with Donald Trump. Well, I'm glad she raised the issue of the 9/11 Commission, to which, by the way, I provided testimony. So let's start out with the preface to the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. And what does it say? Before I even do that, let's do this one about the need for border security. Here we go. It is perhaps obvious to state that terrorists cannot plan and carry out attacks in the United States if they're unable to enter the country. Yet prior to September 11, while there were efforts to enhance border security no agency of the U.S. government thought of border security as a tool in the counterterrorism arsenal. Indeed, even after 19 hijackers demonstrated the relative ease of obtaining a U.S. visa and gaining admission into the United States, border security still is not considered a cornerstone of national security policy. We believe, for reasons we discuss in the following pages, that it must be made one. So right off the bat, you want to talk about the 9/11 Commission? Great. Why are they then violating the findings or recommendations of that commission? And then it goes on and says this. Let me get to this one. Yeah. Terrorists in the 1990s, as well as the September 11th hijackers, needed to find a way to stay in or embed themselves in the United States if their operational plans were to come to fruition. As already discussed, this could be accomplished legally by marrying an American citizen, achieving temporary worker status. By the way, that's what DACA was, right? Temporary worker status.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
For asylum, or applying for asylum after entering. Listen to that. Applying for asylum after entering. And what do we call illegal aliens? Asylum seekers, giving them a level of credibility to which they're not entitled. The great majority don't qualify for asylum, but they give them a title that obfuscates the fact that they are illegal aliens trespassing on America. And this goes on and says something that's really important. In many cases, the act of filing for an immigration benefit suffices to permit the alien to remain in the country until the petition was adjudicated. Terrorists were free to conduct surveillance, coordinate operations, obtain and receive funding, go to school and learn English, make contacts in the United States, acquire necessary materials, and execute an attack. And then you go back to something that was said by none other than Alan Greenspan, the man who melted our economic system with his subprime mortgages, talking about the need for bringing in many more, first he said illegal, the undocumented, unauthorized, and he said they only minimally suppress the wages of America's working poor. Well, again, if you minimally suppress working poor wages, you wind up with homelessness. And we've got record levels of homelessness around the country. In Texas, one of the mayors is looking for an ordinance they could set up tent cities. Think about that. We're going to start to look like Calcutta, tent cities. And the governor of Texas is opposing this madness. But here's where he says the H-1B visas come in, and this is really infuriating. Here's two benefits to flooding America the way Bill Gates wants. First, skilled workers and their families form new households. They will of necessity move into vacant housing units. What a way to describe an American home lost to foreclosure. I can almost see the Norman Rockwell painting on the mantle, can't you? The vacant
right.
housing units. The current glut of which is the price and price of American homes. And, of course, house price declines are a major factor in mortgage foreclosures and the plunge in value of the vast quantity of U.S. mortgage-backed securities that's contributed substantially to the disabling of our banking system. It was actually his subprime mortgages. It did that. But the second sentence is the one that if you have high blood pressure issues, take your pill now. You're going to need it. Listen to this. The second bonus of flooding America, in other words, with foreign workers, would address the increasing concentration of income in this country. Someone's getting too rich here. Greatly expanding our quotas for the highly skilled would lower the wage premiums of the skilled over the lesser skilled. Skill shortages in America exist because we are shielding our skilled labor force from world competition. Quotas have been substituted for the wage pricing mechanism, and in the process, we have created, you're going to love this term, Matt, a privileged elite. We're talking about middle-class workers here.
Right.
A privileged elite. Whose incomes are being supported at non-competitively high levels by immigration quotas on skilled professionals. Here's the punchline. Eliminating such restrictions would reduce at least some of our income inequality. In other words, destroy the middle class and the poor will have nobody to be jealous of.
So we've got 2 minutes left.
Is this
actually
the American
got one
dream?
It's not. It is not America. And in addition to that, we had this Antifa guy write an actual manifesto, firebomb an ICE facility, and it's like it didn't really happen. And you see all this apology happening in the media. In the last minute we have, Michael, if you could plug your radio show, where people can go find out more information about you, and also a final thought.
Sure. My own personal website, obviously my favorite, is michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. I write for frontpagemag.com. I write for dmlnews.com. my radio show is the Michael Cutler Hour. It airs on Friday evening, 7 o'clock, East Coast time, 7 p.m., the Michael Cutler Hour on Blog Talk Radio. And please get involved. I always like to say that democracy is not a spectator sport. We as Americans really have so much in common. This divisive nonsense, the pollsters dividing us up by race, religion, ethnicity, it's bunk. We're Americans, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. And we must stand together. We must insist on practicing our First Amendment. You know, otherwise, we're in deep trouble. We need to engage in honest conversations, and what you're doing on this program is so important to provide the information that the mainstream media refuses to provide.
And you're doing the same thing. Michael Cutler, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio. I'd love to have you back on and keep up the great work.
Anytime you want me, I'd be glad to do it. If you know of opportunities for speaking events, they've been all over the country. But really, folks, get involved. That's really the key to all of this.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody, you just heard that. And I think, yeah, thank you very much. And you too.
Yes.
You just heard that, and abusive language and abusive power, and how this whole thing has been twisted to take the truth and make the truth seem bad. Right is wrong, wrong is right. And we know where that comes from. And the important thing on the immigration issue is if you talk to people that have actually immigrated or have family members that have actually immigrated and had to wait in line sometimes as much as 3 years to get here to America, all the while suffering persecution, job loss, etc., wherever they were at, hardship. They love this country. That's why they came here. That's why they endured that. And that's also why they waited in line to do it legally. Because you don't have a country if you don't have borders and if you don't have laws that are respected. And that really is the whole point behind what these folks are trying to do. They're trying to eviscerate the idea of America. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.